You, and we just ask you, Almighty God, that as we bring forth your word, Lord, you would find us worthy vessels, and that, Father, we would decrease so that you might increase. Send forth your word, Lord God, and let it be the words of Almighty God and not merely men. Let it, Father, accomplish its purpose in the lives of your people for your glory. And in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Today we're going to talk about feasting on faithfulness.
Amen.
We're going to talk about food.
Amen.
But the best food, you know, this is the month of Thanksgiving. I am thankful that the month of October is over.
Amen.
Because November is a month of Thanksgiving.
Right.
October was a month of war. Amen. I'm ready to give some thanks. Are you?
Amen.
This is a month that we mostly think about that great feast that's coming. You know, turkey, stuffing, pumpkin pie,
mashed potatoes
with garlic on top.
Green bean casserole.
Green bean casserole. That green.
Butternut squash.
Now, wait a minute. I would just like to say we have never had green bean casserole.
No, but everybody else does.
Okay. Green beans make Andy throw up, so we've never had
green
beans.
We don't do them, yeah.
He'd probably eat them now. I don't know. When he was little, he couldn't. So this is the month that we talk about feasting, and we think about that great feast that is to come, right? We kind of get that in our minds. You begin to walk in the stores, and as soon as they're taking down pumpkins and witches and things, thank you, Jesus, there's turkeys and pilgrims.
Amen.
By the way, I want you to think about the pilgrims. Think about the pilgrims as more than, hey, they look really cute when I put them on the table next to the turkey, you know, like your kids make. Ponder that. I want you to, this month, I want you to ponder the pilgrims and what Thanksgiving really was intended for, that first right. Thanksgiving, what those pilgrims were. Go on Google or on ask.com or whatever you use, or you can use this wild thing called an encyclopedia. You can open up the book. That's craziness.
It's crazy.
I know. You could go to a, it's called a library. It's the thoughts. I know. Well, I don't need to go to the library. I have it on my cell phone. So, and look up pilgrims. And learn a little, P-I-L-G-R-I-M, pilgrims. And look up what the pilgrims or the Puritans were. Just, I want you to do that for me. That's your homework assignment. Write that down.
Okay.
There will be a quiz next week. There will be a quiz every time we get together. No, you feel free to go ahead and text and call me because I won't get them. Look, so you ponder that. Pilgrims and Puritans. Andy, what do you think?
Yes.
Pilgrims and Puritans, because we've been talking about them. Now, I think pilgrims get a bad rap because they wore, you know, kind of strict-looking clothes. And people are like, oh, black and white. Right? But I got to tell you, there was a reason. And they gave thanks for a reason.
Yes, they did.
And it was for the hope that they had within them.
Amen.
Look, pondering this feast that's coming up, you're going to be pondering what kind of foods to put on the table and what kind of things your family does and all those. You can almost, if you just close your eyes, smell the oven opening up and, you know, maybe that. Uh-huh. All right, baby, go ahead.
This is also the month that we are going to be focusing in on one of the 12 unshakable things. Remember, we taught about the 12 unshakable things in Psalm 100, verse 5. For the Lord is good, his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. The Lord promises in the book of the Hebrews that everything is going to be shaken. Remember when we talked about
Woo-hoo!
That? Hebrews 12, 26 through 27. Everything is going to be shaken. Once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. So we talked about the 12 things that are going to remain that cannot be shaken, that we need to focus and be purposeful on these 12 things, focusing on what cannot be shaken rather than spending all our time focusing on what is being shaken. So this month, we are focusing on the faithfulness of God. Anybody not need one of these bookmarks? Anybody not have one of these? Everybody got one? Okay, Jeff, you need one? Here, you can have this one. Who?
Kimmy's mom and dad don't have one.
Is this, I can make more. Do you want one? No. They said they're good. No. Okay, so we're going to skip all that. But we're going to be talking about...
Look, I want you to ponder this. How much time do you spend dealing with the shakable things of this world?
That's right. A lot.
Your job, your house, your car, your neighbors, all of those things that are honestly, here's what we say around my house, they're going to burn.
That's right.
And how much time do you spend on that? And then how much time do you spend focused on the unshakable things, like these 12 unshakable things that we've been talking about? And then you have to ask yourself, if I'm spending all this time on the shakable things and they're going to go, what investment am I making in those things that will remain?
That's right. And so this month we are going to focus in on and we're going to feast on his unshakable faithfulness. We're going to feast on, we're going to focus in on the continual, unfailing, unshakable faithfulness of Almighty God. We're going to read you the definition of what it means. So often, again, we throw these words around, like faithfulness. We just taught a group of people about the fear of God. Many of them said, you know what, I've never heard this before in my life. People tell me all the time, I need to fear God, I need to fear God. And I've never had a clue what that meant. You know what, when you just study it out, things are very simplified, and then it's very easy to grab hold of that, and that's what we're going to talk about. What does that really mean, faithfulness? So as you hear this definition, I want you to ponder, does this definition describe the attributes of my God?
Just had to let you pause there for a second. See, because you have to understand the unshakable things again. I mean, I want you, what I said about investing in the unshakable things of God, here's an analogy for you. If you had a fruit tree and you had the opportunity to put all your investment in that fruit tree or into a vase full of cut flowers, which would you put your investment into? Because that fruit tree is going to feed you. And what are those dead flowers going to do? That's the difference in those shakable things that we do. They're not bad. The shakable things are not bad. However, if all your investment is in those and you allow your fruit tree to die, what will you eat on? I'm just going to say, dead flowers, although somewhat filling, not very tasty. So I want you to ponder that. And faithfulness. We're going to be talking about the faithfulness of God. Faithfulness is the attribute of one who is faithful. The attribute of one who is faithful, which is faithful means strict or thorough in the performance of duty. True to one's word, promises, vows, etc. Steady in allegiance or affection, loyal, constant, reliable, trusted, or believed. Adhering or true to fact, a standard or an original. Would you say that those are the attributes of the God that you serve?
Yes.
Well, that would be true, Noel, not tur. You have been hanging around Mama. That would be adhering or tur to fact. Wow. Praise the Lord. New King James says in Psalm 37:3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness.
Amen.
Feed on his faithfulness.
Amen. Feed on his faithfulness. Feed on the thoroughness of his ways. What was the first definition? Strict or thorough in the performance of duty. How many of you would say that your God is thorough in his ways? Man, he holds himself true to his word. He is thorough down to the tittle. It says, he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He is thorough in his ways.
He's thorough in the performance of his duties. I want you to think about the giraffe. Look, he made them tall enough to get the top stuff, right? He made elephants. And look at just creation, how it all works together. I want you to think if you could have put it together. Now, because we'd have missed stuff. He is thorough. Like the giraffe, do you realize they got an 18-foot height and their neck is such that if the blood, I want you to think about this, the blood pressure that it takes to get the blood from their heart to their brain is so great that if a giraffe leaned over with that pressure that puts the blood up to its head, it would blow its head off. Except that giraffes have this amazing little valve right on the outside of their heart that when they lean down, it regulates the pressure of the blood that it takes to go up to their head. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, if I made a giraffe, the first one would have gone, hey, I need a drink. Poof! Oh, nuts! Right? But God is thorough in everything that he does.
Amen.
Everything fits together.
Amen. You got to feed on those thoughts. You got to think about that.
And in human terms, that's why the Darwinists believe that it had to be 400 million years to create something like that, because it's too incomprehensible to say, yeah, and God said, there's a giraffe. Mm-hmm. See, and they go, well, amen. If it was humans, it would take billions of years, and you still have messed it up. So God is thorough and perfect in what he has done.
You need to feed on that this month. Look at some of the things that he's done in your life, and stop and think about the thoroughness of how he did it for you. The thoroughness of how he's done it for the people around you. And then feed on another definition, true to one's words, promises, or vows. Take some time this month and really feed on the integrity of God to his word. That he cannot deny his word. That never once in your life has he ever broken a promise he made to you. Never once have you seen him lie, because he is not a God that he can lie. He is not like men. Men can lie to you all day long, and the best of men can do it. But God, he will never lie to you. God will always hold true to his word. He will always fulfill his vows. Why? Because he is faithful, and his faithfulness endures forever.
Feed on his faithfulness. Feed on his loyalty. Another of those, the loyalty, steady in allegiance or affection, loyalty. We must feed on his loyalty to you, his allegiance to you. Look, how many of you know that at any time, no matter how close your friends or your family, they can turn?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you. Look, I cannot tell you how many people have said, I am with you heart and soul. And you're in the middle of battle and you turn around and you're like, well, I guess I'm here. But see, God never has done that, because Jesus himself said, I am with you always, even until the end of the age.
Amen.
I will never leave you.
Amen.
Nor forsake you. We need to feed on his loyalty, on his allegiance to us. Look, he doesn't go, oh, you did what?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, I'm going to have to, you're gone. I am turning my allegiance away from you. He never does that. See, when we find ourselves distant from God, it is not because he has changed
That's
his
right.
allegiance. It's because we've changed our allegiance.
That's right.
See, and all we have to do is turn back to Him. He's the father of the prodigal who waited every day, for him to come home. That is what God is doing. He is loyal, waiting for us to return.
Amen. And feed on His affection toward you. Feed on His affection toward you. Steady in allegiance or affection. God has great affection for you. He loves you more than you could ever even begin to comprehend. His heart is full of tender mercies and compassion toward you. He doesn't look at you and see you through the filter of everything you've done and turn His head in disgust. But He looks at you through the filter of the love of His Son, Jesus Christ. And His heart is filled with adoration toward you. His heart is filled with unfailing love and mercy toward you. You need to feed on that thought. If you don't love yourself, do you know God still loves you? The Word of God says nothing can separate you from the love of God. If you don't feel loved by God, it's not because He doesn't love you. Your feelings are merely lying to you. People have said to me, well, I don't feel unworthy of your love. I don't want you to love me. I feel bad when you love me. And I tell them, you're not the boss of me. You don't get to tell me who I love and who I don't love. And can I tell you, you are not the boss of God. And you can tell Him all day long that you're not worthy of His love. And He can love you anyway. Because that's who He is and that's what He does.
Remember what it said in Psalm 103, verse 13 and 14. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Mm-hmm. Look, God formed and fashioned us out of the dust of the earth. He knows our frailties and our weaknesses. He is not surprised in going, oh, I expected you to be perfect. Talking with somebody, I said, look, here's a perfect God and a perfect gospel. And He said, I want this gospel to be spread everywhere. Now, I'm going to use you, imperfect person, and you, imperfect person, and you, imperfect person. And we're like, how am I supposed to relate a perfect God and a perfect message imperfectly? We need Him. Amen? See, that's it. We need to feed on His affection for us. We need to feed on His consistency.
Amen.
I mean, look, this is one of the bases of faithfulness, is consistency. How many of you would say your strength is consistency? Man, I gotta say that's one of our weaknesses typically, is consistency. But His consistency with you is this. He said from generation to generation, His ways are the same. He said in Hebrews, I'm the same yesterday, today, Amen. And forever.
That's right.
Hebrews 13:8, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's no change. That is consistent. Yeah. I mean, how many things do you know that are consistent? Here's the only constant in the universe. Ask a physicist, they'll tell you. Change. And your God says, I am unchanging.
Amen.
Everything else changes except your God.
Amen. Feed on His reliability. Feed on His trustworthiness. As hearts grow colder and the days grow shorter, are you finding that people are less reliable? Even those that make contracts with you find ways to get out of those contracts that they've made with you. People are becoming less reliable. Situations are becoming less reliable. Buildings that they say will never fall, still fall. But your God, He's reliable, always. That's right. He is reliable, always, always. He is trustworthy, always, always. You need to stop and feed on that. When things around you feel very unreliable and people feel very unreliable and you are in a state of shock because of the unreliability and the lack of trust that you see in humanity, stop and feed on the reliability and the trustworthiness of the God that you serve.
Amen. Feed on the billions of believers in Christ and even His creation, which stirs. Rosie just said this very same thing. We need to encourage each other with testimonies of what God is doing and has done. Why? Because it stirs us, because it feeds our faith, it feeds our soul. Because when you're in the midst of a trial or a tribulation, you think something is so horrible that nobody could survive this. And somebody goes, I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, as a matter of fact, I was worse. As a matter of fact, here was my situation, and God brought me out of it.
Mm-hmm.
See, when this happens, and all of a sudden, we witness and we feed off of that. Amen? See, the faithfulness of God then becomes real to us. When you're praying with someone who's sick, when you're comforting someone who has lost a loved one, when you're sharing with someone who has been abused, and you say, I know that God can take this pain from you. I know that it's hard now. I'm not discounting it, but God has a way, and there's not necessarily a purpose for this, because, and just remember, say less. Don't say stupid things. That's my, you know, oh, there's a purpose for this. Really? There's a purpose for me getting punched in the face? You know, you just say, God is able to turn these things around. And in the future, they will become testimonies.
Amen.
In the future, God will use these things to glorify himself when we're faithful. When someone has been hurt and abused, and then you see them having overcome those things, having become victorious, having been able to receive the good things in their life afterwards, then it brings hope to those who are in the midst of that. Amen?
Amen.
So we need to feed on those things. When it's hard for you to believe in and look at those good things, surround yourself and feed yourself. So many of us feed ourselves on the media. I'm just going to say, Fox News, CNN, NBC, ABC, CBS, Nightline, whatever it is that you are feeding yourself, entertainment, those things, what they're going to be is those dead flowers. If that's your investment, as opposed to saying, look, turn on something of value that says, let me share with you the miracles of God. Let me share with you the salvation of my mother. Let me share with you the healing of my sister. Let me share with you the worthiness of our God. Now, when I feed on that, I'll go away like, woo, I feel good. As opposed to, I just watched CNN and it said that the economic numbers are declining and houses are foreclosing, and I feel like I'm going to be overrun. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Let us feed upon the truth and the faithfulness of God in this.
You know, one of the definitions is believed. Of faithfulness is believed. It's just believed. When the devil comes to you and he tells you God isn't real, go, well, you know what? There's billions of people that say he is. They can't all be wrong, devil. So maybe I'm having trouble believing right now, but the fact that billions of people believe, I'm going to believe too. Again, that's why you've got to get your ears and your eyes open to what God is doing in the earth and not get isolated, because when you get isolated, it gets really easy to become an unbelieving Christian. And churches are filled with unbelieving Christians. We need to feed on the fact, and I love this, that God, definition, adhering to a fact or to truth. I love the fact that I can feed every day on the fact that God must adhere to his word. His word stands true. His word will never be moved. It will never be shaken. He has to honor it. He will always honor it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He cannot deny himself. He will not deny his word. And so you can feed. We was a ladies' Bible study, and I asked this question. I said, if you knew that coming your way was the last plague, that God said, I'm sending one more plague. And in this last plague, you're going to get delivered from this place that you've been stuck in. There's deliverance is going to come. But you're going to have to get through this last plague, like they got through that last plague. And you're going to get provision. Provision is going to come for you in this last plague. But I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to get through this. You're going to have to trust me through this. And then you're going to be out of Egypt and on your way. And I asked the ladies this. I said, if you knew that was coming, what would you do to get ready for the last plague? And this was my answer to them. I said, I would find a scripture in the Word. And I would cling to it. I would cling to it. Because never has God not taken me through something that I didn't think I could survive, that he did not give me a word that I could just cling to. And the reason I cling to it is because I know that he is faithful. And meaning he must be faithful to his word. Amen. So feed on the faithfulness of God. Like Jerry said, everything can change, but God will never change.
Look, what you feed on is what you live on. How many of you would like to live on those little rice cakes?
Ugh.
Jamie. You know what they're really good for? You take and you throw them and you get rubber bands and you shoot them and they kind of explode like clay pigeons. But, I mean, really, how long would you be able to survive on those? Not very long, and you wouldn't be doing very much. It would get less, right? Because see, what you feed on is what you live on. Now, when you have a really hard day of work and you know that you're going to be physically active, what do? You take care to make sure that you intake enough to provide for your energy, right? Isn't this what we tell our children? You know, look, don't sit there and eat a candy bar and expect to be able to be powered all day long. You've got to eat properly, feed yourself properly, because that daily bread on which you feed is what you're going to live on.
Mm-hmm.
And so feed on bread that will nourish your soul. Feed on God's faithfulness, on that bread of life every day that will nourish you day to day.
Now it says that we're supposed to feed on his faithfulness, and to feed on something requires the investment of two things. To feed on something requires the investment of your mouth, and it requires the absorption of your body. So think about how your body is fed. A man is fed by the participation of his mouth, right? We just took communion. Your mouth participated in order for you to take that into your body. It participated in that. What your mouth takes in, your mind, your body, all of your internal organs, everything going on in the inside of you, participate in what's been received. Your mouth takes in milk, and your body is a benefactor and feeds off of all of that. Your mouth takes in meat, and your body and your mind are a benefactor and feed off that. Your mouth takes in, my little niece did this, your mouth takes in poop. You ever watch a little kid eat that? I'm going to tell you, your whole body ends up participating in that. Your mouth takes in poison. Guess what? Your mind and every part of your body ends up taking that in. In Psalm 89, 1 through 2, I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth, I will make your faithfulness known. Again, we're feeding on faithfulness. With my mouth, I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare, not I will think about, I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you established your faithfulness in heaven itself. Faithfulness, I'm going to tell you, here's a key to faithfulness. Faithfulness is established in heaven. It is not established by judging or gauging what you see going on around here. Faithfulness is established in heaven.
He says, I will make it known. I will make it known. I love that song. I mean, here's where that song came from. I will declare my choice to the nations. Shout for joy. In the congregation, I will worship God, right? See, this is, look, now we do that in a corporate place here because other people are doing it. So when you're sitting at your desk, are you singing the latest top 40 song, listening to that? Or Are you sharing the truths of God, the faithfulness of God? I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. How long is forever?
Long time.
Long time. Yeah. Long time. Longer than your work day. Do you sing at work? When somebody comes, I was talking to a gentleman, relatively new believer, and he goes, you know, sometimes I have clients and I turn my K-Love off, and you know, and then he's like, had this customer for a while, and he goes, and I had it playing really low, and he goes, oh, you listen to K-Love? I'm a believer too. I said, let me tell you what, guerrilla Christians are overrated. You know what a gorilla Christian is? It's not like a big monkey. It's like the kind that hide and only come out when other ones come out. Look, are we, what did he say? If you deny me before men,
deny you before my
I will
father.
Deny you before my Father. Look, I'm going to sing of the Lord's great love. I'm going to declare from my mouth. Why? Well, here's one of the reasons. Try a little experiment. Tell yourself you really don't like something in your house that's kind of ambivalent, that really doesn't matter. And every day, go, I hate that couch. I don't like that couch. I don't like that. I'm not getting that, just, and see how long it takes you to have to get rid of it. As opposed to find something that you're even, you might even have a bent against. I don't like whatever. And then for 30 days, every time you see it, man, I love that dog. That is the best dog I have ever had. I love that dog. I am going to clean that dog's poo off the ground. I love that dog. That is the best dog in the world. And just find out how your attitude changes when you feed, when you allow the words of your mouth. We were talking about this. I did this to a truck driver when I was working in a warehouse. This truck driver comes in, and he's all bristly and from Alabama. And he's like, oh, lady, she did. I hate her. She blah, blah, blah. I said, man, I love my wife. She is awesome. I can't even tell you. You know what? She cooked dinner last night. It was the best thing. And you know what? And he's all like, And so the next week, he comes back in, and I told Bethy, I come home, I go, I am making this man my project. He is my project. I got him in my sights. He's going to be here every week for at least a year delivering my goods. And so he would come, and I go, so how you doing today? How's your wife and your kids? Mine are awesome. And pretty soon he's like, you know, they're pretty good, actually. You know, my wife's a Christian. You know, she watches that Christian TV stuff. And, you know, I mean, I even gave her some money to go ahead and send in on one of those things. I said, really? That is awesome. And as the weeks went by, this man is like, he comes in, he goes, hey, you know what? I went to church with my wife, and it was awesome. And I'm like, that is so cool. And I remember another truck driver was there at the same time, and he's just, all of a sudden, I see him starting to leak life on this man. And he's like, this guy's like, oh, I got a load. I got to go out to Durango. And it's all that. And he's like, oh, Durango's beautiful this time of year. You're going to love it. It's just the most wonderful place. The leaves are changing. And it's just one. And the other guy's like, I mean, it takes a little more investment sometimes. You got to, you know. But see, when you speak those words, what happens is you encourage yourself.
Amen.
You know what David said? He said, why so downcast, oh, my soul? You know why he said that? So we could hear it. Mm-hmm. He said, hey, what's wrong with you? Wake up.
That's right.
Why so downcast on my soul? Put your hope in God.
That's right.
Grab yourself by the lapels and shake yourself a little bit.
Amen. Do this month, feeding on the faithfulness of God. When you open your Bible this month, read out loud. Read it out loud so that you can hear it, not so that you're just mine. Read it out loud. When you talk about and think about the faithfulness of God, get your mouth participating in this event and speak out loud. Go for a walk and say, God, Thank you. You know what? Still, we've lived in the same neighborhood since we moved here in 1987. And every single time I go left on Wadsworth down 108th, I go, God, thank you that I live here. I love this view. It is, isn't it? And I walk in the house still, probably once a month, I will come to my husband and go, I'm so glad we live here. Thank you. I never get tired of it. But say these things out
every
loud.
Every morning, you know what she says?
Oh, yes.
My shower has a view of the mountains.
I have the best shower in the world.
And every morning she goes, I've been in showers all over the world, and this is the best shower.
The best shower ever. It is. I look out there, and there's a mountain range, and then there's some cows wandering around. Once in a while, Larry the Llama's out there floating around. It's like, wow, it's the best shower in the world. I've been in 5-star hotels. I got nothing on my shower.
Because see here, remember this. I talked to the men about this. You're supposed to be reading this every day. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verse 2, that you may fear the Lord your God and keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you today, you and your son and your grandson all the days of your lives, that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Okay, and then he says in verse 7, you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them. Do what?
Talk.
You shall talk of them when you sit down in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up again. Talk. You shall talk. Open your mouth. Read your word out loud. How many of you have learned something from one of those silly little songs? Might have been a cat food commercial, right? But so why don't you get creative? And, that's why worship songs are helpful, because they will help you to memorize and put God's word and truth in your mouth. That's why there is nothing better than a song that is exactly the word of God. Like that. I will declare that your love stands firm forever. That you establish, somebody just write that, write some music to that. Then all of a sudden you're like, oh yeah, woo!
Amen. Now, if your mouth can't work, people don't just die, do they? Just because you can't put food into somebody's mouth doesn't mean they have to die. What it does mean is they have to be fed by absorbing nourishment into their body. Because again, if you're not fed, you're going to die. And so if his mouth is unable to feed him, sometimes your mouth, every time it opens itself, it really shouldn't. So sometimes you need to feed yourself in a different way, because the way you're bringing in is not good. But if there's people that their mouth won't work, you know what? They get fed through direct injections. You ever heard of a feeding tube?
Yeah.
Sometimes you need to close your mouth, and you're going to have to get a direct injection somewhere else. Somebody else is going to have to feed you the faithfulness of God, or by divine creation. God created our body in such a way that you stand outside and you absorb in vitamin D just by standing in the sunshine. Why? Because he created our bodies. If we can't get food this way, then we get it through absorption. New King James, Isaiah 25:10, Lord, you are my God, I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things. Your counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Faithfulness and truth.
Counsels. Your counsels of old. Now here's one of the things that we've lost. We live in a generation of youthfulness, where youthfulness is everything. I'm going to tell you what. Age is a good thing. With age can come wisdom, and should come wisdom. Not always the truth, but gray hair is supposed to be a glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Because, you see, the counsels of old, here's what counsels means. Advice, opinion, or instruction given in directing the judgment or conduct of another. Hello, the counsels of old, the faithfulness of God. Let me tell you how it is. Right? We surround ourselves. We feed on the counsels. When we seek counsels, we're asking to be fed.
That's right. by
observing. I'm not really sure how to handle this situation. Can you counsel me? Can you direct me the judgment or conduct? I'm not really sure how this goes. I'm not really sure what direction. Now, you will ask counsel of your mechanic. You'll ask counsel of your banker. You'll ask counsel of your boss. How can I not get fired? And we have to seek this, looking to be fed a feast of instruction. I think that we lose the ability to feast on instruction. Because a lot of people say this, I know, I've been in church. I know, I've heard that. Oh, he's going to preach on the parable of the sowers. I know. Come on now. This happens in our faith where we forget to listen for instruction. You know where some of the greatest instruction you will find is? We saw it at men's on Friday, little children. Here's Isaiah Nelson runs up to Andy. Andy, read me this word. Share with me what you're reading right here. I'm talking, all of us men are like, man, I wish I was like that. Because see, it's like, will you just share with me? Will you just walk with me, direct me in judgment or conduct? Something other than your own mouth and your own thoughts, because how many of you know your own mouth and your own thoughts are not the best all the time?
Yep.
Man, I tell you what, the worst thing that we can do is get isolated, because then you begin to believe the knucklehead stuff that's in your head. I tell you, I do this all the time, as Bethy. When I'm thinking stuff, I'm driving a lot, I'm thinking stuff, and it starts to make sense, I just speak it out loud. And then I'm like, wow, is that whacked? When it comes out of your mouth, you know, that's starting to make sense. I think I could fly. And then all of a sudden, you know, I speak it out. No, there's gravity. And all of a sudden, reality begins to hit me. Because when it's inside your mind, or you're just bouncing it off of yourself, doesn't it start to make sense? That's why God surrounded us. So that He would go, no, you can't fly. You weigh 250 pounds, you can't fly. You will... maybe fall with style, right? But not fly.
When our mouths can't feed on the faithfulness of God, they can't participate. Every time you open your mouth, it's not saying what it's supposed to be saying. Then you've got to get fed the faithfulness by absorption. You've got to let other people inject the faithfulness of God into you. You've got to be at that place where I'm going to put myself in an atmosphere of faithfulness, and I'm just going to absorb. I'm going to keep my mouth shut, and I'm just going to absorb. Wherever that atmosphere of faithfulness is, maybe it's in your home. Maybe you're going to turn off all the TV, and if the TV's on, it is only going to be Christian TV. Or maybe you're going to turn off all the radio, and if there's any music playing at all, it is going to be Christian music. What am I doing? I am putting myself in an atmosphere where I can absorb and feast off of the faithfulness of God, because right now I just need to shut my mouth, because my mouth keeps saying the wrong thing. I tell you, if God ever encourages you to do that, you need to do that, because He is preparing you for something. God did this for me for about a year. He has had me in this place where He's just like, right here, not outside of this. All the cave people, all the naysayers, everything else, just step aside and put yourself in the atmosphere where you can just absorb and be fed the faithfulness of God. And when God calls you into a season like that, where He wants to feed through injection or through absorption into your soul and into your mind and into your spirit and into your body, the faithfulness and the truth of God. Oh man, you got to be. We had this dog for years. His name was Toby. And he was a sunbeam dog. Wherever the sunbeam would come through the house, he would run and he'd find the sunbeam and he'd lay underneath it. And that's what we got to be like with the sun. Where are you, man? I'm just going to lay and bask. Whatever you've got for me, just pour it out, because I'm like a sponge. My pores are wide open and I'm absorbing every ounce of your faithfulness. Get yourself away from unbelievers. Get yourself away from naysayers. There is a time and a season where you can stand as a believer in the midst of the voice of unbelievers. And there's a time where God will not let you. And He will say, get yourself away from them. Because right now I need to feed you nothing but faith. and faithfulness. And when you're ready, I'll put you back around to the unbelievers and you'll be there again. Psalm 27.
You know what cave people are, right? Citizens against virtually everything.
Everything. You've got to be in the right place to hang out around them for any length of time. 27, 4 through 8. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, God bless you, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Amen.
Amen.
Look, God himself feeds himself off of his own faithfulness. I want you to ponder this. God himself feeds himself off of his own faithfulness. He reminds himself from his own mouth. He speaks and says in the book of Genesis chapter 9, he reminds himself. Verse 12 through 17, and God said, this is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you, and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring the clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember. I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. So God said, he spoke to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all life on the earth. God spoke and reminded himself and reminded Noah that he would make a reminder for himself. Whenever I see this rainbow, it's just going to remind me of the promises that I have made to you.
Amen.
What are your reminders of the covenant? What are yours? When you see them, do you have them? Do you have things that you can look at and see? And you go, Lord, I know. Lord, I remember when. Lord, I remember when, and therefore I know tomorrow that you will. What are your signs? And does your mouth feed off of them when you see them? Does your mind remember? And do you then begin to feed off of the faithfulness of God? Because you have signs and reminders of the covenant that provoke your mind to feed on his faithfulness, that provoke your mouth to speak forth and feast off of the faithfulness of Almighty God.
Psalm 37:3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Feed on his faithfulness. Set up for yourselves reminders. The movie 7 Days in Utopia.
If you've not seen that, you still need to go see that.
7 Days in Utopia. The old golfer has all these trophies, of wonderful trophies, pro trophies and things. And the young man asks him, he says, what is this? And it's an empty liquor bottle. And he said, oh, that's the greatest trophy of all. That's the last bottle. That's the last drink I ever had. That's my greatest trophy and the greatest triumph of my life. You see, we need to set those things up. Look at your children. I got to tell you, as a parent, there is nothing greater than seeing the success of your children. I have to tell you, as a pastor, there's nothing greater than seeing the success of your congregation, seeing the joy of his salvation in you. That reminds us of why we're here, of what God's purpose and goal is, and how to feed on that faithfulness. Amen?
Amen.
Feed on his faithfulness. Here's where people miss it. They try to feed on their faithfulness, and then they starve to death. Right, Brandy? If you feed, I don't care how good you are, how consistent you are. Consistency may be easy for you, but if you try to feed on your faithfulness, you will eventually starve to death because you will let yourself down. You will have times where you will be inconsistent and unreliable, but if you feed off of His faithfulness, then you will live a strong, healthy, vibrant, secure life until you go home to be with Jesus Christ.
Amen. You can't try to feed on your spouse's faithfulness.
No. Do not feed on man's faithfulness. You must feed on the faithfulness of the only one who is eternally faithful.
Lord Jesus, Father, we ask you to keep us ever mindful, to help us, Lord, in this season of feasting, to feast upon these unshakable things, Lord God, the unshakable faithfulness of our God, who said He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that He will never leave us nor forsake us, that He will be with us until the end of the age, that, Lord, He will walk through us, with us through the fires and through the waters, and they will not overcome us. Lord, help us to remind ourselves, to speak those words, and to feed our spirit and our soul. Lord, to feed the spirit and soul of others the faithfulness of God.
Yes,
Lord. That, Lord, we would be ever mindful. And that when those things in this world are shaken, Lord, we will never be shaken. In your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Stand up on your feet as we close in worship together today and feed on the faithfulness of God this month, purposefully, by absorption, by the words of your mouth, feed on the faithfulness of God. If you need prayer for anything today, then the altar is open for you. If you need healing in your body, or maybe you just need faith. Maybe you just need to come before the Lord and say, Lord, help my unbelief. Whatever you need, the altar is open to you today. And we love you very much, and we will be praying for you as you are praying for us. And we look forward to seeing you on Friday. And if you need anything, like I said, Andy will be in touch with us throughout the week. We love you.